Hey, everybody out there in Code Pen Land who like to listen to podcasts about businesses that make websites, that's you. You're a niche of a niche of a niche, and we very love you niche. For it. I got Steven on. Hey, Steven.
Hello, Chris.
This is a good one. Steven and I worked big on this. It was kind of a meaty project, one of those necessary ones that we get done before we can ship the old 2.0 editor here. And that is that, you know, we get the editor all done and the compiler all done and all this, but pens are a little different than they used to be in a number of ways. Now they have this build process thing. We've talked about that a little bit, but a pretty big difference is that pens can, well, all pens have files in them, but in the old, you know, the project editor had files as well, but the old pen editor that most people are familiar with, it kind of had files with quote marks around it or something, but we didn't even tell you what they are named. We didn't, you know, I guess you just kind of assumed they were siblings. You didn't need to write link or script tags to link them up or anything like that. In the new editor, you know, you can see the name of the file. You can see the file system. It's right there. We're giving you this file system to work with. You don't have to care. If you just like the old editor, I promise you can use CodePen just like you used the old editor. There's
plenty of options for you.
Just there. Saying, though. But that changes the nature of what our topic is for today, which is embedded pens, we call them. A big deal in the past, I haven't measured this in a long time, but you know, back when we were a little bit better at measuring like every bit of traffic that came to, this is a whole thing to talk about, but analytics, essentially, about half the traffic of all CodePen comes in the form of embeds, which kind of makes sense because they're all over the internet. They're in and out of React docs and Vue docs, and they're all over Google documentation pages and Smashing Magazine. And those are just like some big names, but they're all over, you know, my website. CSS Tricks had them on every dang post. You know, they're around the internet. I wouldn't even be surprised if we get more traffic to embeds as we do to regular
code. It might be the most used feature on CodePen.
Yeah, just in terms of, I like that too, because that's kind of in the early days. That's why I made CodePen. I want to have examples that you could embed on inside of documentation and blog posts and things like that. And people know that and they do that. And there's lots of cool features that make that work really well. It works with OEmbed, which makes it kind of very portable to go everywhere else. We offer iframes. We offer our own embed script. We try to make this as easy and flexible as possible. There's WordPress plugins that make it work. You know, there's an 11D plugin and all kinds of stuff. They are very easy to use, I'll say. You know, the easiest way is you just have a URL to a pen and you paste it in the right place, like a Medium blog post. All you do is drop the URL there and boop, it turns into an embed. We love that. Go ahead use that. It's free. There's a couple little pro features that are in there. Like, I don't know, isn't it like to link up a style sheet? Maybe you have to be pro, or maybe we made that not pro. I can't even remember.
Yeah, the way theming worked used to have some pro elements to it, but I think we stripped those back.
Like the header says, like
the custom CSS.
Yeah, custom CSS is, but the ability to hide the header used to be pro. I don't even remember if it is. It's just a little baby. It's not the kind of pro features that we loved because it was kind of like, I'm not trying to nickel and dime you on little stuff. I want you to upgrade for like big, real reasons. But this one kind of was one because it involved branding and people that just didn't want to have it look like it came from CodePen. That was how you would hide the branding. And so we made that pro. Anyway, that's not what I was really talking about. I'm saying 2.0 pens have a file system on them. We can no longer have, this was a prominent piece of the UI, is it just said HTML, CSS, JavaScript. There are three buttons. You click them on and off if you want to see them. Or I think in the old editor, you could see one of the code ones and you could see the preview and you could turn that on and off. But you couldn't see like two code ones at the same time. That couldn't happen. So, but anyway, we don't know on any given pen what the files are anymore. Like, we just can't be sure. A lot of them will have just index.html, style.css, and script.js. A lot of them will, but we don't know that for sure. And so we wanted to have the new design for the 2.0 embeds be flexible. And be like, okay, well, how are we going to do this for a whole file system and for any number of files? That was a big change in it. Well, being careful that we didn't want to change too much, because we're not trying to, you know, don't break what ain't broke, or there's a saying. And then But at the same time, we're rewriting this whole thing from scratch, aren't we? Because this is our new, a lot of our new work is in React and Next.js. We needed to make these work in that universe with the new APIs that we've talked about on this show. So like we're moving architectures, but trying to do very little with the design. And isn't it true that we wanted to not change the design so much because of the custom themes, right?
Right. So there's kind of two big concerns with it. Let's just backwards compatibility, because like we talked about, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of these out on websites, and eventually they will be converted to this new format. And so we had to make sure that existing embeds with all their query params, with all the embed script stuff, like all of that continued to work. Even within that, making sure that we don't break people's embed themes, because they've got custom colors to help match their website design. And, you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah. I mean, we could if we had to, but we're not going to.
We
really need to do is make sure that like the general like HTML structure is as close to the same as we could have it, and that the class names and attributes and stuff on them are the same. And that really wasn't too bad, was it?
Yeah, it was a little annoying because, you know, we're now developing this in React rather than in the Ruby world or just, you know, vanilla HTML world. So, you know, you want to lean into like modular styles and things like that, but we needed to kind of continue supporting the global classes that people may have been attaching to.
Right. So we did that. That's done. It exists. You may have even seen these embeds because we aren't locking them down in any way. They are just wide open. So a user who happens to have the beta flag can produce pens and then use them in the same way the old editor used them. And so you might see them. And then if you click over to them, I think beta pens are publicly viewable now, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so you can see them. You just can't edit them if you're not in the beta.
You can't edit them yet. And you will be able to edit them. You know, like if you visit somebody else's pen now on CodePen, like from a Blue Sky post or something, and you click around in there, or I don't know why I said Blue Sky, it doesn't matter. How about you go to CodePen and look at a pen? Even if it's not yours, you can still play with the code and stuff. That will still be true. Mm-hmm. It's just not right this minute because of the private beta nature of what's going on. Yeah, so totally new embeds. But isn't it also true that I think the URL to the script to embed them is the same? Mm-hmm. Like, so it just needs to know what it's dealing with. I think ideally we wouldn't have had to do that, but I think we do right now for some reason. So there's like if you want 2.0, you got to put like, you know, data version equals 2 or something on the HTML element.
Yeah. Just for now, while things are kind of at a different path, for the new editor, eventually that will just not be necessary. But right now you got to do it.
Got to do it. Yeah, there's also a bunch of backwards compatibility we probably already mentioned, but the query parameters that say like how tall is the thing, and you know, I don't know, show this file by default. Well, you might have said show the HTML by default, but we need to like interpret that and say like, oh, they probably mean the index.html file and things like that.
Right. So we had to take each of those query parameters and adapt them to that. So the old editor has like a default tab is the name for that. And it could be HTML, CSS, or JS, and then like a comma and preview to show the split setup. Yeah. And so we have to continue supporting that as best we can. But now we've also expanded to allow them to select an actual file and, toggle the preview in different ways. So we've expanded some things, while still supporting the old ones.
Yeah, pretty cool. Works great. Looks great. I don't think we've had any bugs with it so far. Well, I just haven't.
I found one while researching, but just a small one with the metadata not populating.
Oh, Interesting.
So, like, they're missing a title right now, but I've got a PR going for them.
It's a little rare. They do have a URL. Like, in the end, whether you use the embed script or whatever, at some point, an iframe gets put onto the page, and the iframe has a URL to it that looks a lot like a pen URL. It just says slash, where it says slash pen, it says slash embed instead, and then supports all those query parameters and stuff. You may never use that URL in your life. And, you know, so the fact that it doesn't have a title may never even come up. It's something we should and will fix, but it's like, you know.
I think it's helpful for the iframe accessibility wise if the page itself still has a title.
It has a title. Right. The iframe needs a title attribute. That's for sure. But that's probably working fine. So instead of those three buttons, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and preview, now, because we don't know, you designed like a little special UI that's there instead, right? So, we're going to look at it.
Fun. Yeah, if you're joining us on video, you can see that. Head on over to our YouTube channel if you're listening via audio.
Yeah.
We won't go too heavy into the visual element here, but on the left, I've got an old embed. You can see the HTML, CSS, and JS tabs at the top, and then a result tab.
Yeah.
And then here's the same pin overall in the new editor, the new embed. And we've got the CodePen logo. That's a little different in the corner there, but it has a purpose. It shows you like the kind of metadata of the pin, like who made it and a link to it. Previously,
the title and stuff? Yeah, we didn't do anything before.
Well, previously,
did we?
You had to click out all the other things, and it was just kind of like almost an Easter egg.
It's been
egg.
A minute since I've looked at that page. We don't even need to support that anymore. It was like, you know, in the old editor, if you turned off the code and the result, you'd get this like secret page that had the who owned it. But like, how would you ever know that?
This is a lot more obvious and, you know, just helps with our CodePen branding. And then instead of the HTML, CSS, and JS tabs, we actually have this like nice little dropdown. So you can just click on the current file and you'll get the list of files. It even supports the folders and you can get in there and change around.
You can look at one file at a time. That's not different. So we were like, okay with that. You know, it's not a full blown editor.
Well, like the size of embeds typically, like we're talking like 600 pixels or so, like, you know, it's a very limited screen real estate we're working with. So we had to make sure we stripped back as much of the UI as we could, even for 2.0 and all the advanced features it has. But like you can see in the old embeds, we've got this like footer happening at the bottom. We remove that for some extra screen real estate, but those options are still available. So we've got the preview tab here and there's a little drop down next to it.
Yeah.
We've got zoom in there. We've got refresh to rerun it. And since pins have multiple files, you can actually navigate to a specific URL. So if you had like an about page.
You could never do that in the old editor. You never knew what the URL of the preview was showing you because mostly it didn't matter. I mean, you could change the URL of an old pen too. You would just have to, you know, well, I don't know. I don't know how it would work. You'd have to use the JavaScript API to do it or click over to a... No, you couldn't click to anything. I mean, there was no other page. It was just index.html. So if you're going to change the URL, it would have to be through one of the JavaScript APIs to do it. And that really wasn't the purpose of the old editor anyway. Now you can have as many pages. You can have a whole file system, all that. So we kind of necessarily need to show you the URL of the preview that you're on.
Right.
So that's a thing. And now because you can do that, it needs to make its way into the there's a centering thing there. Bug.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you can change the URL and refresh and that type of thing. Much cleaner. I like it.
And you can close things out just the same as you can. So if you in the old one, if you clicked the open tab, it would close it. Now we have a little X to close it out.
Yeah, X is better for closing rather than just knowing that you could turn off an active tab, which is less clear. I like how the height of the header is to the pixel exactly the same as the old one.
Yep.
And
overall, like the style of like the buttons and things, we tried to match as closely as possible because for the user themes, like we want to make sure that those
are. How annoying would that be too if you were using themes all over your site or embeds all over your site and one day they looked totally different? You know, how annoying would that be? And we had some, yeah, I see you're showing off the light theme. We have a light and a dark and a normal theme, I think. Or normal is even responsive to...
isn't it auto now? Like for your current system thing. That doesn't seem to be working right now, so we'll check that out.
Why? Or did you just change your system setting and it didn't match?
I'm trying to. So theme ID.
For those listening, the idea is that the default theme, like if you're at the OS level, have set light mode, that it will kind of like follow.
Yeah, it's that not working setting, right now.
Just as a kind of like little bonus feature to it. Oh, well, we'll get that going.
Yeah.
If that's, we'll have to revisit our decision making too. Sometimes it's like, do we really want, because it is a change in behavior. Like maybe we made you opt into auto mode or something and then we forgot what we decided.
Yeah.
Gonna revisit that type of thing once in a while. Yeah, it looks really, really similar though. So I'm hoping that, yes, this will change when we essentially forcefully update your pens from old to new. You'll get this new look for embeds as well at some point, whether you want it or not. Sorry. But, you know, you may not even notice, to be frank. So
just the nature of updating the product and, you know, deprecating old things.
I don't know if we've talked about the classic block on this podcast yet. We've been kind of holding off some of our deeper 2.0 topics until it's in public beta. But what's kind of neat is that I was a little worried that would change in our old, you know, while we were working on this thing, the old editor had like, you didn't include the doc type and all that stuff. And you had, you know, your CSS would be automatically linked up and stuff like that. And
You're basically just populating the body of the HTML in the
right.
Classic pen editor.
And we wrote all our pen conversion work, which has been a lot of work. This kind of like old to new conversion stuff, because we have to be really sure. In fact, that's been my work for a couple of weeks now when working with Robert on like, how can we like be 100% sure that when it's converted, it's just perfect, you know, because there's a lot of changes.
That's what I use for this demo. Yeah. I use the conversion process for this old one.
It's going to work for everybody, but it's like, as you can imagine, edge cases are tricky little nuggets, you know. It's working pretty good. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say about that, though? But yeah, you know, originally conversion was written to create that full HTML document. But now because we have this thing called the classic block, I will save this for a future podcast. But it makes the new editor a lot closer to the old editor than it was. And you don't have to do it. And I think over time, people will prefer not using it, is just my guess. But for now, like when a pen is converted, it's using what's called the classic block, and it just makes the HTML look exactly the same as it did before. And I think people will like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So to behind the scenes, a little bit more going on. One of the things that we use in the new editor is this technology called Apollo. Some people like to make fun of it because it's a really large piece of state management technology, essentially, that works with a React project.
It's GraphQL. So you're querying like APIs and pulling things from that. But it also has like local state management integrated in that, and caching and all these kind of complicated layers.
It's just a big piece of technology that we use, but we kind of depend on it in our front end, or we assume that it's there because we just use it for, it's actually kind of nothing's above criticism, but like, I don't regret we needed something here, and Apollo fit the bill pretty good, but it is too much for embeds, where one of our goals is performance and being very, very lightweight. So we're like, Apollo in embeds, maybe not. Huh?
Yeah, we did some tests with it just to see like what our overall weight was going to be with the embeds, and like just Apollo, I think, was like maybe 100 or 200K.
Yeah,
it was way too much for what we were trying to target. We were trying to get everything really,
some
really slim.
Companies out there would be happy to ship you megabytes of JavaScript for an embed. We're not one of them. And ideally, an embed should be super light, super fast, even server-side rendered, if we can. So we went with that, and we're in Next, but... Well, it's kind of funny. We've shipped plenty of Next stuff to the site, but not anything as big as the editor yet. So this editor going to React, that's going to be wild for us. But we started this project back when there only was the Pages router in Next.js. People that know Next.js know that it's been a couple of releases now, but not they have two routers built into it. The Pages, which is manifests itself literally as a folder in your project, and then another folder called App. That's the future of Next.js is all app everything, but it's pretty different. And they live side by side, which is fine, but app kind of by default, I think, is all SSR, whereas Pages isn't necessarily.
It's more heavily focused on the server rendering and the way that it integrates with the server. But you can do server-side rendering in the Pages router, but they're very different beasts. You can't just copy something from the Pages router over to App router and expect it to work.
So, I think the point is, like, because we were working on this new thing relatively recently, why don't we just use App router? Because generally we probably should just use, if that's the future, fine, we'll do it. But also because we cared so much about SSR, we went that route for these. And well, I don't know. I can't remember if it was rough or not. Probably was.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't too difficult because we're not doing as much complicated stuff with the embed pages compared to the actual editor. So setting it up and getting the dynamic routes and things in there, that was mostly the same. And the metadata and server side rendering aspect of it took a little adjusting, but it wasn't bad. But one of the main benefits of kind of putting it in this new router is we could isolate like the layout in the embeds from what we're using for the rest of the site, because the rest of the Next.js site has a app layout that embeds Apollo and all these other kind of things that the site expects to have, like modals and all that kind of stuff is integrated in there. So by moving it into the App router, we can isolate that layout a bit more so that it's very focused on a very light page, and it initializes Urkel instead of Apollo. And yeah, Urkel's just chill. Like a super, super lightweight GraphQL query kind of deal.
We were going to just use nothing at all, but then I was like, yeah, Urkel gives us a little bit of something that was worth doing.
Being able, like, we can just fetch from like a GraphQL API, but having a little more wrapped around that was definitely
helpful. Yeah, it turned out to be nice, How's the weight looking? Have we tested? It's kind of hard to see on dev, right? Because a production build is different. I guess we could just go to production, right? And then you kind of got to test it with production here, with like all your extensions off and stuff like that.
Right. It's hard to say how much is actually being transferred. Let me see if I've got filtering happening here. The page itself is coming through at 10 kilobytes, and that's got like most of the UI rendered in there and ready to go. The main weight overall to the page is CodeMirror. We do have to load CodeMirror and like language support for the proper highlighting, and
we've looked at ways to not do that, but I don't know. It's nice to be consistent because we're not even supporting editable embeds. Sorry if that's bad news to somebody. It could come back. We do have pre-fill embeds too, a little more important to us. But yeah, the fact that you can use all the same themes and all that stuff is pretty. We can't just use Prism or some crap or server-side render classes. Like it'll just be too different, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Overall, it should be less than 500. It's hard to say between like the actual rendered preview and
then
that'll
be pretty cached between, because it'll be same origin to multiple embeds. Mm-hmm. So your second embed will be much smaller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as tiny as I'd hope, but 500 is not that bad for as much as it's doing, including another whole iframe.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep it light. At least it's not 5 megabytes. You know, I've seen worse too, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty good. So I guess that's 2.0 embeds. You'll probably see them around more and more, and there'll only be 2.0 embeds eventually. We won't even call them 2.0 anymore, probably. Or embeds we won't. I mean, we'll probably continue calling CodePen 2.0 for a while until there's a 3.0. What's that going to be? Oh my gosh.
VR.
Yeah, probably. Code in a little room. It'll take us another 10 years, though, so it's going to be a while.
But imagine that collab mode. It'd be sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. We'll have like animal avatars. I'm gonna be a panda who codes. Great.
A little pangolin.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for dying. I guess we don't have to drag it out, but that's what 2.0 embeds are. That's the technology behind them. You know, I don't know. I'm proud of them. What I mostly remember is like us looking at that on our roadmap, being like, oh man, that's gonna be a butt to chew off, and now it's just done. It feels good.
and it was mostly just front end. We didn't have to implement any new APIs or anything like that. Maybe a little bit of DevOps and the routing, but overall we were just able to go off in our little silo and tackle it.
Right. So like project management wise, I think we waited till a time when that was the right move to do. Because generally we like to like all stay together on projects, but sometimes it's just like we just can't because there's just different timing of things. So I think we slotted this in during a time where we knew front end could just do our own thing for a while.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I wonder if we get any user questions about this. I think there was a little bit more, I don't know if worry is the right word, but like, you know, don't screw this up sentiment from the beta crowd. Mm-hmm. Essentially like, wait, these are all going to look different now. What are they going to look like now? Don't screw up my website, you know?
Right.
I think I really wanted to make Andy happy over at Piccalilli because he's got they have a cool theme already and their website is like super yellow. If we screwed it up over there, Andy would notice, that's for sure. But you know, we did some side by sides on what it'll look like on the new Piccalilli, and it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Steven, take care. We'll see you again soon. We got some more topics to dive into. We haven't even told you how rough CodeMirror has. I shouldn't say that, but a journey, let's say.
A perilous journey. Yes.
We haven't said the word CodeMirror on this podcast enough times yet. So.
Yeah. We'll get into it.
See you later.